Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
Hello there, my very good friends. On today's wrestling news, we're going to tell you why John Cena's SummerSlam match could be in jeopardy.
A major update on WWE and Brock Lesnar and what on earth's going on there.
We have some new details on Malakai Black's AEW debut, his new character, and a bunch of other stuff.
And an exclusive story about the tag team formerly known as Everrise and their shocking WWE release. I'm Adam Wilborn.
And I'm Andy Murray.
And this is the news.
All right, let's talk John Cena to kick this bloody thing off. Interesting situation. Interesting story about this dude breaking overnight. He's doing a new movie. The movie is called Argyle. He's going to be appearing alongside Henry Cavill, Samuel L. Jackson, Bryan Cranston, a bunch of people. This is Variety who broke this story last night. And you might wonder, why are we doing movie news on the wrestling news at this time of day, even though it's John Cena? The interesting part of this is that the film is due to begin filming in Europe in August. What else is in August? Adam Wilborn's birthday, for one.
Hey,
there we go. But for two, SummerSlam. And what event has John Cena been rumored to return at? Adam Wilborn's birthday barbecue, of course. No, of course, we've done the story on this a few times already. Talking about the potential Roman Reigns versus John Cena match has been mentioned. Cena has kind of went nudge, nudge, wink, wink towards it a few times as well. But you look at this filming schedule and you think if it's starting in August, what's going on there? Could there be a potential conflict? Now, we don't have exact filming dates yet. We don't know, potentially this could start after SummerSlam, or it could be that they don't need Cena in Europe for the week of SummerSlam or whatever else. So, the SummerSlam connection here is just putting two and two together to get 28 or something in this case. But it's interesting to think about nonetheless. I would like to see Cena versus Roman Reigns. I think it's a big match. You have a big event like this where it's going to have like 40-odd thousand people there in Las Vegas. First time in a long time they've been able to do that, and it's certainly a match that would fit that stadium. But what do you reckon, Adam Wilborn?
Well, first of all, can I say what a cast they've got there? That's an amazing selection of people. A film all about, of course, Plymouth Argyle, the football club. Very excited to see how they do that. Understandable that they have to film in Europe for that one. I don't know. I don't know a lot about movies, but I do know they don't film them in 1 month. So there's I've said from the beginning, when they went, oh no, John Cena didn't say anything about this on Jimmy Kimmel, or oh, Brock Lesnar, no, we're not thinking about him this SummerSlam. I said from the beginning, bollocks. If you had John Cena and Brock Lesnar in your back pocket, and considering all the crap that we've been put through by WWE, and they are known for making good on their badness a lot of the time, these are two huge surprises, and I don't think they would get out. I still am convinced both men will be wrestling at, or at the very least appearing at, SummerSlam. And let's be honest, I've never been wrong with my predictions. So, yeah.
Always right.
I think that there is wiggle room to allow Cena to do that and then maybe start filming. Or, I don't know, we'll work some out, because John Cena Roman Reigns has to bloody happen, because it's just perfect for SummerSlam, as is something like Brock Lesnar versus Bobby Lashley. But I've got an update on that from the Mattman Pro Wrestling podcast. Andrew Zarian, always good for this sort of thing. Apparently WWE want Brock Lesnar to commit to live shows if he is going to return to the company. Now, Zarian does seem to suggest that SummerSlam is off the table now. Things didn't work out. They were doing negotiations, trying to put something together, but it just didn't happen. It's not going to factor into SummerSlam. Again, I still think that's a load of bollocks. No offense to Andrew Zarian, but it's probably more hope than expectation, but we'll keep you posted as that develops. But in terms of Brock actually returning to WWE, unless something, quote, tremendously terrible happens, they are due to reach an agreement in, well, days, weeks,
however
months.
Long.
I have no idea. But yeah, it does look like Brock will be returning to WWE just once they can, I don't know, figure out how many zeros to put on the check. Yeah. Who bloody knows? But it's understandable that Brock's stayed away. He's not exactly... Hamflet always says this, that he's probably enjoyed, you know... Not enjoyed, that sounds horrible, but... appreciated this pandemic more than anyone else because he is a man who likes keeping to himself. So,
yeah.
Just sticking at home and not having to cross the border or anything like that makes a lot of sense. But, I think this is going to work out. I think he still think he's going to pop up at SummerSlam, if I'm perfectly honest, or at the very, very least, Andy, the Raw after SummerSlam.
Yeah, I mean, for me, it's Brock Lesnar's going to do what Brock Lesnar wants, and as soon as they give him something that he likes the sound of, he'll do it. It's a simple equation. For me, the guy is always up in the air, so Lord knows what's going to happen. But I'd like to see him back. I miss him. I'm a Brock Lesnar guy. I've been for a long time, even when he's been squashing my faves. I still like him. What can I say? So I'd like to see him sooner rather than later myself as well. Someone who we're going to be seeing a lot more of recently, soon... What? Aleister Black, Malakai Black, Tommy End, Malakai Black. He's in AEW. He debuted this week at Road Rager, of course, taking care of Arn Anderson and that pesky scamp Cody Rhodes. He hopped onto Zelina Vega, Tia Trinidad's Twitch channel, that's his wife, of course, last night, and he had all kinds of stuff talking about his debut. Just spilling the beans here, Malakai Black, and there's some really interesting points here that he brings up. One thing that he mentions is that with his new character, it's more in line with what he always wanted to do in WWE. He said he wanted to be a heel in NXT, but Triple H saw him more in line with a babyface, that kind of character, which, to be fair, worked out quite well in NXT. He was great in NXT, wasn't he? Tremendous run. But he's talked about, you know, trying to keep the debut under wraps and everything else, how quickly it came together. I've got a few quotes from him here that I'll just read to you. We made it a thing to make it available to as limited people as possible, because that's how you keep it under wraps. Security, Cody Rhodes, and a few others, it may have been 5 or 6 people in total who knew that he was going to debut and show up, which I think is great when you're able to like work the locker room and like come in a cloak. Like, who's that guy under the bag? You can't know, person watching on. He went on a little bit, said it was a good feeling. It's been a rough 7 or 8 months, but I feel like I got a win last night. I got a win in general. And as far as like, you know, the blackout goes, we talked about this on the news yesterday, how there was a curious blackout in the Cody Rhodes QT Marshall match in the opening stages, and the announcers were like, technical difficulties, what's going on? That was all part of the plan as well. Malakai said the following: I pitched the idea and said, what if we do multiple blackouts throughout the show and insinuate the technical difficulties? Commentary did a great job of getting that over and it came off great. So he's clearly a guy who has a lot of ideas and a lot of thoughts on how he wants to, where he wants to go with his character and everything else. It's clear they had a lot of input in what he's done here. He spoke a little bit about Tony Khan, about how the creative process will be more in line with what he wants to do in AEW. It sounds like he's a very happy man who's found a home that he really likes and is going to be prosperous in. So good for him, man. If he's had a rough time this past 7 or 8 months, as he said, and you know he wasn't on TV for a long time, how can you not feel happy about that, right?
Yeah, exactly. Lovely to see him back doing what he clearly really enjoys. Like you say, he's a very creative individual. That sort of foreshadowing with the blackout. I thought, I watched it at the time and thought, what the bloody hell have they done there? And then obviously when it happened, it's like, now I get it. Why is it when people talk, you know, you say there about like keeping it under wraps and sneaking people in and telling as limited numbers of people as possible. The big one that I think of all the big surprises is Eric Bischoff being a vicar at a wedding. I was like, maybe you should think of some other slightly more popular and, you know, impactful debuts or surprise appearances. But yeah, my brain for some reason always goes to Billy and Chuck and all that. So who bloody knows what's going on in my head. But yeah, fantastic to see, as you say, Malakai Black just clearly really enjoying himself. I'm going to apologise because in the next few weeks and months, I'm definitely going to accidentally say Aleister Black. But honestly, I do mean the guy who's now, or I believe I saw the tweet, actually, he's now officially All Elite. So, yeah, fantastic.
There you go.
And excited to see what happens next with him. Good luck against Cody. That's going to be a hell of a feud. And for today's final news, which absolutely, how can I describe this? Rules! We chatted to Everrise yesterday. I was very lucky to chat to the lovely Matt and Jeff, formerly Matt Martell and Chase Parker of Everrise, now known as The Show Rules. They've got their own YouTube channel. Go and check it out. Chatted to them yesterday. The full interview is going to come up on our YouTube channel and available as a podcast in the next few days. But they were talking about their WWE releases and just basically how shocking it is because, well, they felt that they had their entire careers ahead of them. They're obviously doing a lot on NXT. They seem to be featured more and more and more in the weeks preceding their release. They were doing stuff with Hit Row. They were popping up and challenging Raquel Gonzalez to take a swing, which she did. They signed for the promotion in 2019. But when I chatted to them about their release, Matt said, yeah, we were surprised to say the least. It seemed like we had our whole careers in front of us in WWE. We were on TV every week doing what we wanted to do. They talked about the fact that when it comes to WWE releases, they were released on the 25th of June, of course, but in the weeks and months preceding that, we obviously had a series of them. When they saw people like Braun Strowman getting released, they realized, look, no one basically is safe. They've got some great stories to tell, though, about their time in WWE. They're still very appreciative of the likes of Hunter and Shawn Michaels and Terry Taylor, people like that. Like, they've got a lot of nice things to say. And, yeah, I really enjoyed chatting with them. They're just such lovely blokes. They talked about being security for Brock Lesnar and Goldberg. Andy's going to share that story with you on the new, on their website later, whatculture.com. And as I said, just check out that old video and support these guys because just, they're just lovely blokes, Andy.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I watched the whole interview this morning. Perk of the job, a little sneak peek. It's tremendous stuff. Two guys who you can tell have just reacted to this in the best way possible.
Yeah.
They're already out there. They're already making moves. They're already producing content. They're just keeping going, basically. They haven't lost any steam whatsoever since they left. So, you know, what must have been a very jarring decision, like professionally and everything, they don't seem like bitter. A lot of guys get on podcasts and everything and like shoot off and stuff, and that's great. I love that stuff. It's really entertaining. But these guys just seem like the best guys of all time. And it's a really great interview, and you should check it out. You know, the guy who interviews, I'm not sure about that dude, but like, Matt and Jeff are tremendous.
Yeah, Matt Martell, he's got a baby due in a month's time, so better luck with that. And yeah, hopefully we'll do some more stuff with them. And people say we're paid AEW shills here at What Culture. It's not the case, but if Sweet TK is watching, sign them. Please sign them for AEW because, yeah, there's quite a few people in AEW who can get a taste, Andy. They can get a taste.
Yeah. I think we're at this stage, we're paid Matt and Jeff shills, so I'm here for that.
We got a problem with you. You get a chew. Right, okay, let's move on to your Twitter questions. At What Culture WWE, we'd never have anything as good as Chew of the Week. First question to come today comes from Jake, who says, do you think AEW could possibly use Dan Lambert to rebuild Lance Archer? Dan Lambert, of course, the founder of American Top Team, who Lance Archer attacked on Dynamite this week. I'm thinking Lambert could bring in someone big and beefy, possibly from TNA, to have a short feud with Archer that Archer ultimately wins. Also, go Italy. Now, you ruined it at the end there, Jake, but yeah. What do you reckon, Andy?
I think Forza Azzurri. Dan Lambert is too good to not use again. He was great in his run in Impact. We saw again on Dynamite this week. He's a tremendous natural talker. I love the idea of him coming in as a heel manager. They've got to book the guy.
Yeah.
And Lance, you know, throwing someone at Lance is a perfect start.
Yeah, maybe not Jorge Masvidal, though, since he's quite busy.
He's very small as well.
Probably could beat him, because she's genuinely one of the best female MMA fighters there is out there, apart from, all right, Chris Cyborg, we got a history. But yeah, feed him someone big and beefy, because he needs something to re-establish himself, I feel. Cool Link 7 brings us our second question of today. It says, with the recent debate on whether Hangman Page, Adam Page, should lose his rematch with Kenny Omega or win the AEW title from him, what do you guys think of one of the Dark Order members having to beat Omega before Page can challenge for the title?
I think that Kenny Omega has been built into such a position of prestige in multiple promotions with titles all over the place that having him take an unnecessary pinfall, to someone lower ranked who isn't going to win the title later on is not a good move. For me personally, I don't like that kind of booking a lot of the time. So I wouldn't go with it personally, but I would absolutely find a way to put together Omega and Evil Uno for the title. Omega could like punch down and go, oh, this guy's not going to beat me, he's a loser. Like, you know, the kind of thing that Jericho did with Jungle Boy in 2019. That would be so much fun because Uno is so over at the moment. Kenny could hand pick him, which means you get over the rankings thing.
Yeah.
It would be great stuff. I would do that, but I would have Kenny win. I wouldn't have Kenny take any singles losses.
No, it's an interesting idea, this. I don't know what they're going to do. They've got just under 2 months to try and kill time until All Out, because I feel like it has to be All Out that they do that match where the title switches. I'd have negative one, beat Kenny Omega in summary, basically.
It's believable. He's a badass.
Or on Dynamite next week, have Kenny Omega come out and say, you know what, Paige? You know what? Yeah, you can have a title shot. Next week, it's going to be me and you, Diamond Dallas Page. Final question of the day comes from Planet Dan ASMR, who says, good morning, lads. Do you think AEW should do a Money in the Bank style ladder match or something involving cashing in a contract for a world title opportunity? It is Jericho's idea, after all. I'd quite like to see it, but I wanted to get your thoughts on it.
Yeah, I think a lot of people would be down for this, but for me personally, the Money in the Bank thing, you know, New Japan have the version as well. They have the contract from winning G1, but it's not like a surprise mystery cash-in thing.
Yeah, it's, gift from the gods, you know, in Lucha Underground or something as well.
Gift from the gods. They had all kinds of wacky stuff in Lucha Underground. Dragons eating people in cages and stuff like that. But it's not something I'd like to see in AEW for me. It's, you know, you do that and you attract a lot of flack for copying WWE and all of this stuff and blah, blah, blah. And like, I'm generally in favor of copying good ideas. Don't get me wrong. Like, why the hell not? It's a step too far for me. I don't want to see that in AEW. I like the kind of rankings and winning title shots through battle royals and stuff like that. I don't need the element of surprise you would get from a briefcase.
Yeah, I think they had that hemorrhoid ring or whatever it was that Scorpio Sky plucked out of the sky.
That's right.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I love Money in the Bank, so I'd be inclined to go for it. And, you know, so maybe some Acme-sized dynamite that you have to, I don't know, light the fuse on. I don't bloody know. I like the idea, but it does also feel like people would just go, you're just stealing WWE's ideas, even though, as you said, it was Chris Jericho. Yeah. It's a nice thought, but I don't think it's going to happen. Let's conclude today by just circling back and saying, please go and support these guys of Everrise, because they were genuinely one of the nicest people I've ever chatted to. And they, they didn't deserve to get released. No one did, obviously, but they're just so creative, so talented. And they've got their own YouTube channel, so go and support them. The Show Rules is what you need to search for. Go and become a friend of the show. They do shows every Saturday morning. It's all very entertaining, and if we can lend them just the smallest bit of help, it'd be nice, wouldn't it, Andy?
Yeah, absolutely. Like I said, these guys have just kept going, haven't they? They said in the interview, you know, they got released on the Friday, they were making videos on the Saturday, putting them back out. So I think these guys are going to kick ass, whatever happens next. But check them out on YouTube. This content is awesome. I love the word content, obviously. their coffee takes in particular are... knew that already. You knew that already.
There you go.
No instinct, by the way.
If you're watching Matt and Jeff, how do you like that? There you go. You're welcome.
Get a piece of their ass. That's what you want to do.
Turning me on. Right. Let us know your thoughts on everything we've discussed in the comment section down below. Don't forget to like, share, and subscribe. And subscribe to What Culture Wrestling on either iTunes, Spotify, wherever you get your podcast from, for daily wrestling podcasts. Got the SmackDown preview and Wrestle Culture with a hashtag Bloody Good Quiz later on today. Plus, let us know your thoughts and Twitter questions on Twitter at WhatCultureWWE. Watch there. Follow both of us. You can follow Andy Murray at
Andy H. Murray. The H stands for happy birthday to the greatest worker of all time, Kevin Nash.
Oh, what a guy.
God, ultimate hustler.
Half cut already for the SmackDown preview then. Follow me on Twitter at Adam Wilbur. Follow us all at WhatCultureWWE. But for now, my thanks to Andy Murray. Thank you for joining us. And we will see you soon.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.